A gentle note, dear listener. As you are probably already aware, this book is a work of nonsense. That being said, it behooves us to remind you that the Mad Hatter is a fictional character and doesn't conform to the strict rules of our own world. To wit, mercury is deadly poisonous. Hatters really were said to have gone mad in the 19th century because of exposure to mercury in their hat-making processes. In effect, they suffered long-term mercury poisoning. You cannot eat the fish from many rivers and lakes of America, even today, because of the deadly mercury that lies on their muddy bottoms eternally, the result of toxic industrial pollution. In this book, the Hatter drinks mercury. You, dear listener, cannot. It will kill you. Liz Braswell. Alice as You Remember Her. Chapter 1. Morning sunlight waved a cheery hello on the papered walls of an equally cheery bedroom. It had rained overnight. A proper rain, hard with big droplets. And the day came fresh, scrubbed and eager. The air that drifted through the open window was chill and sharp and had a bit of a kick to it. A flock of little sparrows, who had been nestmates barely a week earlier, chirruped excitedly back and forth in a way that would eventually result in either a sudden flight en masse or feathery fisticuffs. Even the hammer strikes of Mrs. Anderby's solid heels against the floor downstairs sounded springier and more energetic than usual. The girl lying so peacefully in her brass frame bed, thick golden hair spread around her head and neck like the resplendent halo of an angel, was coaxed from sleep to wake at once by the abundance of all these cheerful noises. Her eyes snapped open, the long lashes on her lids waving like wheat with the suddenness of the motion. "Today," Alice declared, "is a perfect day for adventure." She grinned and basked in the glory of her decision for a moment, then shot out of bed. Dinah, a cat both grumpy and unwilling to see the day for what it was, stretched once in place, where formerly her mistress's warm feet had been, then closed one elderly eye to the day, and was asleep again seconds later. "Sorry, old girl," Alice said, giving her a kiss. "But tempus fugit, you know. Time waits for no one." Of course, this being the time and place that it was, adventurers couldn't just run out the door in their chemises. It would be scandalous. And so, Alice began the tedious process of donning all the layers necessary to going out into the world as a respectable young English lady. She had drawers that went down to her knees, a crinoline that looked like a cross between a bee skep and a cage. It was basically a series of steel hoops in diminishing circumference that circled her lower body from her calves to her waist. This held the skirts worn on top of it out from around her, like a giant bell, with her legs the clapper. Corset. She didn't tight lace, despite the fashion and the pressure from friends. On this one thing, Alice and her sister agreed. It was pure foolishness. Her waist was fine as it was, thank you very much. And she left the corset to its main job, keeping her back aligned and her womanly attributes smooth and in place. Petticoat? Petticoat? Actual dress? A nice summer weight gingham in blue and white? Jacket and hat? And finally, camera bag. Alice hurried through all of this as fast as she could, and then nearly skipped like a girl much younger than 18, as she ran down the stairs, only remembering to try to keep her footsteps silent at the very last, and far too late, minute.
"Alice?"
A strident female voice cried out. Matilda, her sister. Of course. Well, since she had been heard, she might as well have some breakfast.